Hello, all. This is Blonde Haired Girl. You just gotta hear this story. this is just incredible, actually. So, I have been expecting some kind of publishing or literary agent or something. I have been in expectation of somebody contacting me. It's been on my radar for a while now, a couple months. I've been talking about this, so those of you who listen, I know I have my people who are very faithful. So so those of you who are listening, you know that I had this on my radar. So I was hoping for something that was not predatory because I have been concerned. So I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a cold call from somebody, I think it was called Limelight media, film and books or something. I don't remember. I can't keep it all straight, but I get this thing and I'm very, very, very cautious because I'm not just very trusting because I have been scammed. I have been scammed in the past. And I know that the truth is a really weird thing. The truth and people, it's all a very, very weird thing. So I've been cautious the whole time, but I would say about 3 weeks after getting the phone call, between 2 to 3 weeks, I get back to the guy. I just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just check this out. So I call him up and he has a really heavy accent. Okay, I have to tell you this. He has an accent, but he has a very normal name. Like Mark Phillips. Okay, so his name is, this supposed literary agent's name is Mark Phillips, but he has this heavy, like, I want to say, I don't know what country, but it's not Indian, as in Eastern Indian. It's not that kind of accent. It sounds more Latin to me. Like I would guess him to be, you know, from some Latin country. But anyway, so he does his spiel and then he has me sign this contract and he tells me you have to understand that whatever you get, I will have 15% just national and then 20% international, you know, which. So the first thing that I do is I get with my sister because my mom is no longer living. And so I gotta double check this with somebody in my life. So I get with my sister and then my niece is actually in publishing. My niece just did a internship in Oxford, England for publishing. And so my sister is asking my niece, they're talking and, you know, and my sister's just like, and then I send her the contract. I actually send her the contract this guy wants me to sign for just having him be my literary agent. So I have her look over this contract. I'm like, you know, what do you think? You know, and she talks to my niece who's in publishing herself. So, you know, they look it over and they tell me, you know, well, we think it looks pretty solid. And I'm like, well, you know, okay. So I kind of reluctantly signed the contract and I sent him my work. This was about my first book. So then he calls me and he lets me know that I'm going to be hearing from, and this was another thing. I was asking him all kinds of questions and he was answering. But one of the things I asked him that he didn't answer is I said, what publishing companies are you associated with? What companies are you going to be sending this to? And he did not answer me. He did not answer me when I asked him that. Okay. That is very significant. Okay. But then he sends me an email saying, you know, thank you for signing it. And then these are the publishing places that I'm dealing with. Okay. And I'm more satisfied because he's come up with a list. Okay. So then the other day I was on a field trip with my work and I get this phone call. So I get this phone call and I'm like, from this person that is supposedly the chief operating officer of Chronicle Books. Okay. And I got to back up a second because I looked up this Limelight. I looked at their ratings. I asked this Mark Phillips how he was associated with Limelight. He had put their letterhead kind of stuff, their information on the emails, which would be really easy to do if you're not doing something legitimate. I mean, you just copy and paste, right? I mean, it's not rocket science here. So this person calls me, and this person also has kind of a weird accent. He tells me I'm Tom blah, blah, blah from Chronicle, the COO of Chronicle Publishing or Books. And he said, the first thing he said was, and I'm really sensitive to all this. I'm very, very, I'm listening to every word. He said, first thing I want to say is that you did a really good job on this, but I need to talk to your publisher. Is your publisher such and such? And I said, yes. Okay. And he said, okay, you need to call him and have him call me and I'll talk to him about our requirements. We need some things done. And so this all felt very strange to me, but I'm like, okay, so I get back to my office and I call him and I tell him that this guy has called. Okay, so I start looking up Chronicle Books and it takes me to LinkedIn and takes me to this guy as the COO of Chronicle Books. And yes, it looks like this guy could be from the CEO of Chronicle Books. So easy to look up. I mean, just go to LinkedIn and I'm looking at other people. And why would they have me have the COO call me? Like of all the people who would give me a phone call, why would they have him call me? I mean, it's just really weird. So the whole time I'm also getting with my sister. You know, and just like double checking this, like it's really weird. Okay, and then I have to tell you, this guy was suggesting a $180,000 like advanced royalty. So when he said that when he put out this the inquiry to all of these publishers. Supposedly, he put them out for $180,000 advance royalty. And he kept over and over reminding me that I would receive, that he would be receiving 15 to 20% of that. And like, okay, so skipping ahead again. So I call him and I tell him, and he said, okay, I'll call him. So then he calls me back in about 15 minutes and he has this list. Okay, so I'm sitting there and I'm listening, and he said it has errors, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I know it has errors in it. I already know that. I did not pay to have that book edited. I have not paid to have my books edited to this point. I am in the process right now of paying to have a book edited. My current publication, I'm hoping that is going to be published, I'm paying to have it edited. It's very important. But anyway, so I already knew it had errors. And then it said all this other stuff. And then the one thing that was like to enhance my cover, my book cover. And I have to tell you, so the book covers that I have created have, you know, and this last work that I've been doing, I had to force myself not to do a cover. I had to force myself. I was like, okay, I'm not going to work on the cover until I get the book done. Because I have this habit of doing the cover first. I didn't necessarily do the cover first on Blonde Hair Girl Mystical Summer, but it was really hard for me to, but I had put a picture of myself in it, you know, and then I had show people and they were like, why would you put yourself on the cover of your book? I got criticism about putting myself on the cover of my book. And it was like, nobody knows who you are. I mean, it was like this immediate negativity. And I could not imagine not having myself on the cover of that book. And I have to back up with this, because the cover of a book is like the label of a bottle of wine. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do look at the label on wine. Logos are incredibly important, and book covers. It's if somebody's just strolling along and they look, you know what I mean? It's like my books are under the title Blonde Haired Girl. This was the first book, and I thought it important to introduce who Blonde Haired Girl is. And so I just didn't listen to people. I went with my own instinct. It could be a mistake, whatever. But I have to tell you, when they talked about the cover of my book, it was an immediate feeling of I don't know, just something kind of, you know, didn't. And I kind of knew this was going to happen, because this is part of it, that I've been nervous about relinquishing control, because these books for me are they're very much a labor of love for me. And I God, you know, it's it's sort of like I think of it like a painting. Like it's like art for me. And so an art is really subjective, and it's really in the eyes of the beholder. And yeah, some people aren't going to like my cover, so that's okay. They're going to think, why the hell would she? Oh, she's so egotistical, you know, narcissist, you know? They may think that. But I have gotten some books that, and I'm going to give you one in particular. I tried to read the book from Teal Swan. I read a good portion of it. But I hate, I just, it's a strong word, but the cover was just terrible. It was a terrible cover. And she is so beautiful that I really feel like they should have put, she, and when her book actually came out, she was very popular. She already had, I don't even know how many followers on YouTube and were all the places that she was posting. I mean, she was already quite famous. And so, and she's so beautiful that they absolutely should have put her face on it and changed the name. It was something like Out of the Woods or something. I don't remember, but it was just not good marketing. It wasn't at all. And I'm not suggesting that you should always have somebody's face on the title of a book. And in fact, the book that I'm working on right now, I'm not going to be on the front of it. I'm not. But so I'm not suggesting that that always be, but I mean, I don't know. I just, anyway. So he got an immediate reaction from me. And he could tell that it wasn't going the way he wanted to. But you know, and I can, because he's never met me, and so I can understand that, like, because you know, you would think that I would be jumping for joy $180,000. You know, you would think that, right? Like any first time published writer with some advance royalty of $180,000, you know, would be just rip roaring. And he's sitting there listening to this person who's cringing at these suggestions, and you know, we have to get it out of your name and blah 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 blah, and saying all this stuff and sounding very official. And he doesn't get the response from me that I'm, because I mean, I got my eye on the bigger prize, and I'm not gonna just lose my whatever over $180,000. But also, that seemed far-fetched to me. I've never heard of that. I mean, maybe somebody who is a very, very, very famous author, and they have multiple, you know, they may do an $180,000, but you know, I just, it was just, the whole thing was just weird. So I, in the process of all of this, I'm getting with my sister. So I'm getting with my sister, and I'm like, look, this just all seems really weird to me. It just seems weird. So I send him an email. Well, I tell him I just need some time to think about it. I'll get with you tomorrow. And this is another weird thing for me. He said, what time tomorrow? He said, because I have meetings. I said, I'll call you, you know, around 12 o'clock, whatever, or 3 o'clock his time, because he's on the East Coast. So I go about my day and my night, you know, and I get with my sister, and she's like, you know, why would you not think that you're just going to hit the jackpot here? honey bear, you know, my sister is trying to really encourage me. You know, after all of the work, she goes, well, first, the first thing she says is, what do you have to lose? And I'm like, I was like, just, it's like my book, my work, you know, my dream, my this, my that. I mean, this isn't, blonde haired girl is a bigger thing than just what it appears to be, like in my own thoughts and also in an energetic output. I mean, years and hours of my life have gone into this, even before I ever started this journey in this, what I would call ministry, this business of blonde hair girl. And so I slept on it and I really wasn't thinking about it that much, you know. So I call him at 12:08, I think. And he tells me that they are willing to do the edits. They are willing to help us with these edits, but he doesn't give me a price. He doesn't give me, okay, so, oh, and this is where I think the scam comes in. This is where the absolute scam comes in. I'm like, and he's like, okay, so I've got to call him and I'll call you back. I got to call the guy from Chronicle Books and find out for them to help us to make these changes, because I don't know the first thing about making the changes that he wants. I mean, I have the manuscript of Blonde Haired Girl Mystical Summer, but it's a mess. And there was a lot of edits that took place, and I guess I could take the manuscript and have it edited and formatted, and what is the hell is he talking about, an enhanced cover? Okay, so tell me what you want instead of this. And in the process of all of this, I did come to the understanding that I have a willingness to change. I do. I have a willingness to change and to accept that I may have to let go of things. And so there was something in that phone conversation, the last one with this Mark Phillips, that, and then I couldn't answer his phone call in 15 minutes. I was at a meeting. I come back to my phone and he has called me 7 times. Now, you could say that he is just eager for his commission. I mean, he's eager for his commission, or he's eager for something, but that's weird that he called me 7 times. And then he leaves a message. He leaves the message that, and the whole tone in his voice is different. And I have to backtrack, because y'all, I forget stuff when I'm telling stories. That when I had sent him an email and I told him that I've been scammed. So this guy already knows that I'm on alert from being scammed. Okay. So he leaves me this message that says that he's going to be out of the office. He's going to have to talk to me on Monday. I can leave him an email if I want to, but we're going to have to talk on Monday. And the whole tone in his voice is different. And I think partly because he doesn't know where I'm at, because I didn't answer the phone. But the truth is, I couldn't answer the phone. I didn't tell him that when he said he was going to call me back in 15. I didn't tell him, I'm sorry, I can't, I may not answer the phone because I'll be in a meeting. I didn't tell him that. But I just feel like it worked out perfectly. And I'm I am 99.999% sure that this is a scam. And that's where it's at. That they're going to ask me to pay. And it doesn't even make sense. Why wouldn't they just take that money out of the $180 royalty instead of asking me to front money? Because I mean, this is what I've experienced so far in my publishing journey has been that every outfit that I have sent my manuscript to has sent me to their sister program or child program where you pay a percentage to have your work published. And all of this is just so crazy. But I have to say, I do not have a gift of promotion. I don't have a gift of self-promotion. I just don't. And it is my belief that God is the best search engine, the best publisher I could ever ask for, just putting my work in the hands of the right person. Somebody that I could trust. And that being me. And so I decided, I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, I need to go to work and start really working on publishing it differently. And I've been paying attention to how these other publishing outfits, like, I'm going to give you an example. I'm in with, I guess, KDP, which is part of Amazon, which really gets my goat. I got to tell you, the fact that Amazon is just this, he just makes, like, and I don't know that I'm necessarily begrudging the crap ton of money he makes. It's just, it's kind of like, and now he's trying to take over the pharmacy industry. It's trying to have a pharmacist, an Amazon pharmacist, Amazon books, Amazon food with Whole Foods. I mean, I'm just like, and, you know, and yes, I did put my work out on Amazon because I do buy books on Amazon. And but anyway, through KDP, I get all of this information, and one of them is winning writers. So I get this email, and I've heard of some really great things through these emails, like, giving you example, the LA Book Fair that I went to 2 years ago, not last year, but the year before. And I plan to go again. And I've been planning to put up a tent and try to sell my book. Okay. I have to admit, I have this fear of doing that, of spending, I mean, it's like $1,200 just to have a tent at that. Okay, so I spend $1,200 to go sit and I sell 0 to 10 books. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And there are no guarantees, but I just don't know that going from book fair to book fair to book fair. And I mean, maybe that in the beginning, but I do pay attention. Oh, this was another thing. So Winning Writers sent me this when they do this, a lot, these contests. It says win a contest to have win a contest to get an interview. Okay. So I put in for that. And then it also, in addition, you can send your manuscript because they are a publisher, but they're also one of these publishers that ask you for money up front. Okay. But I have to tell you this, you have to spend money up front anyway. You have to spend money for all of this stuff to get your book edited, to get your book formatted, to get your book, you know, depending on how you want to do it. All of this costs money anyway. Maybe not as much money as they're asking for up front, but I mean, I'm just saying. And they are supposed to, I mean, because this is how they make money, promote your book. And somehow, you know, so that was through, I think, I can't remember. I think it's like Environment Press or something. Some guy with a PhD started a publishing outfit. Okay, so now he has my email. And he let me know, oh, I'm so sorry, you didn't win that. Because there were 600 entries, and I just laughed. I'm like, well, that could be true. Okay. And he said, but you could send your manuscript, you know, and now I've got you. I've got you. I've got your email, and I can mark it to you. You are now my customer. So the publishing industry is just so something. And I noticed that because I mean if but I have just such an aversion. So Hay House, which I love Louise Hay so much. I have watched documentaries on her. I've watched a lot of her information. She is somebody that I have an incredible amount of respect for. And she, in her later life, she started Hay House. She started to become the publisher. And so now she has all of these people under her book, you know, being published under Hay House. And so I had looked into that, and Balboa Press, I think they have finally stopped calling me. Because you cannot send anything to Hay House without an agent. And the interesting thing was this guy, Mark Phillips, didn't mention Hay House, which is where my work would probably be the most, it would be the genre of that it would be fit in the most to what I think. But anyway, and so she, but you cannot even, submit to Hay House without an agent. You can't. They will not take a transcript at all without an agent. And I something has happened there since, like, what happens when you relinquish control, when you relinquish, is there is this level of integrity that I don't know. There was something very sterile, and I don't, you know, and even with Balboa Press, and they were like very nice to me and everything, but I just couldn't. But so publishing is a very tricky thing. But I'm learning, and so I'm trying to figure out how I could better self-publish, and you know, and the possibility of getting into this industry myself as somebody who could help other people in integrity. Because I haven't even, from all of these people, I haven't even heard of advances. So this Mark Phillips and this $180,000 just sounds really fishy to me. I mean, and then I asked him the question. I said, so, you know, and I can't even imagine what he's thinking about me. But I said, so supposedly it's $180,000 to royalty. And so I said, do I get any percentage of the sale of the book beyond that? Like if the book sell and then I would have to see the contract. Do you know what I mean? Because I've sent my writing to different publishers and they have sent me a contract. And every single one of them wanted me to pay up front. But they've sent me a contract though, and I've said no for various reasons. And so for all of these reasons, and probably something going on with me blocking my own self, my book is set on a shelf. It's set on a shelf. I mean, basically, it is not sold very many copies and it's just sat there for years. So I'm in a position where I don't really have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't. I'm set to be able to retire in a few years. I got bills right now, but I have enough saved up that I could pay those bills for the next 3 years until I could just be quiet and not, just live out my life quietly and not, so I'm not in a position where this person could entice me into making a stupid decision for a quote unquote $180,000 minus he keeps reiterating his commission. But I don't know if I was specific enough with what I think the scam is. What I think the scam is that they are going to take my money that they are requesting to make the changes that I'm guessing are going to be anywhere between, I don't know, I'm guessing around $10,000. They're going to ask me for around $10,000. And the interesting thing is when I went and I looked at the reviews, they were really mixed reviews. You can do anything with reviews too. I just want to say that. You can send in fake reviews. Reviews are kind of weird, but I do pay attention to them. And there were a number of them that said, this is a total scam. And they've been asking for their money back. So they have been paying money. So these people have fallen for this scam and have been taken and have not been able to get their money back. And I'm guessing it's upwards of thousands of dollars. And it's very sad. And then there's others that are saying that they're doing great. I don't know. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, also in my mind, I'm like, how did I attract this into my life? Like, I was sitting with expectancy, which I just heard this other little reel from Abraham Hicks. You know, you have to be expecting it. You get what you expect. You know, Wayne Dyer used to always say that. You get what you expect. Okay, so I've been expecting this, and then it came, and then it's a total scam. Like, what? What? Like, how did I attract this into my life? I'm just saying. And so this has been part of it for me. And, you know, and then, like... And I've had other scams over the years. And I have to be very careful. I'm not as naive as I was when I first had this change in my brain that, I mean, like, truly anything is possible. Anything is possible. It is entirely possible that I would get a cold call from a publisher. Or an agent, it's entirely possible that somebody would have come across, you know, my testimony on YouTube and would contact me to find out, you know, what was up and offer me something. Somebody would believe in my work. But until something legitimate comes, I'm not gonna fall for this. And I'm glad I had the wherewithal. So right now it's kind of on red, and on Monday I'll probably hear from him and I'll know, you know, because initially he didn't ask me for money, but that's part of the scam, right? That's part of the scam. The whole thing is I've known in myself the whole time that something wasn't right. When you know, you know, right? But anyway, so I guess I don't have a literary agent. But at least I have wisdom to know the difference, right? Anyway, I appreciate you listening, and I will be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.